Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think Wayne Vanderbank is having an absolutely outstanding season for them. He's over 100 tackles as well. He's in the top 10 tacklers. He is also just under 600 metres gained. He's got 5 tries in 7 games. Like, in 2023, he had 640 metres gained and 113 tackles. This year already, he's pretty much at that same level with 3 more tries. Like, he's having an absolute career year, and I think early candidate for one of the players of the year.
Welcome to US Rugby Happy Hour Live. Interviews with the biggest names in American rugby.
The New England Free Jacks, Major League Rugby Champions.
One-on-one to score!
Here are your hosts, Bill Baker and that other guy.
Hello and welcome to US Rugby Happy Hour Live. I'm Bill, this is Fitzy. I'll get that right one day. I'm messing it up already. I took a week off and I don't know where I'm pointing.
Bill, how are you feeling, by the way?
Much better. It's just allergies now. Last week it was like, I don't know, like flu-like symptoms or something. Could have been COVID, but I doubt it. But if I blow my nose in the middle of the show, I'll be sure to mute. So I apologize already if I don't do that. I don't have one of those cough buttons like they do on broadcasts. Or sneeze into the mic or something. Yeah. Hey, you know, Fitzy, before we get going, I forgot about something. I believe you and I are tied in the rankings and the standings of the fantasy rugby league. I mean, you're ahead by a few points. Got the same record. I'm just saying.
I think we play each other this week, too.
Is it this week? I should probably pay attention to my roster, see who I'm... Anyway, big news, Fitzy. I believe you're excited about this, too. We have a big new sponsor. We have a new sponsor for the show. And let's talk about this because I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's a company called QuickTap. And QuickTap is the only sports video and analytics platform designed specifically for rugby. I wish it was designed for me to get S's out and pronounce words better, but I'm getting there. if you like...
Not there yet.
I know. I'll get one day. If you're like, you know, most competitive coaches or players, you know, you've already been reviewing film to improve your team and yourself, prep for your opponents and just give yourself better. But, you know, how much time does that take? It takes a ton of time. And how much insight are you really getting out of 2 hours of unstructured YouTube video? So that's where QuickTap comes in. QuickTap makes it easy to categorize video and collect stats as you watch film. You know, with those stats and clips, QuickTap's video review and analytics capabilities help cut the wasted time from your off-field review so you can get straight into, you know, the insight you need to play better rugby and get a leg up on, you know, on your opponents. So do this. Check out getquicktap.com and use the offer code HAPPYHOUR. That's one word, happy hour, when signing up for a free trial, which also will get you 10% off your annual subscription when you apply for that, which I really think you will. It's a great program. And also, QuickTap will sweeten the deal by tracking your first match for you. So QuickTap, the most powerful way to beat your opponents before ever setting foot on the pitch. So that's exciting, right? I think it's a big deal. And I looked into this company a little bit. You know, obviously, we don't want to just take anyone on. I really think they have a great product. And I definitely could have used them years ago when I was playing. Who knows? Could have been an Eagle.
Can they break down VHS tapes, Bill? Can they do that?
High eight, maybe. But you know what? You know who else is really into data and stats?
Oh, this is a good segue.
Mm-hmm. We're good at this. We've got the MLR stats data guru. Now, I keep forgetting if we made him that or not. I don't know if he's actually out there running around saying he's a guru, but we're going to do it anyway. and I thought for sure he'd be wearing a Leafs jersey, but instead he's wearing... Rugby Canada jersey. So let's all welcome James Dealey. Hey, James.
Bill, John. That transition was brilliant, Bill. Good to see you.
All right, let's call it. That's a great show. Good night, everybody.
I could have worn a Leafs jersey, I suppose, but I thought I'd represent after the Canadian women's big Pacific Four win the weekend. on USA Happy Hour, just to rub it in a little bit more.
Okay, we're done, Bill. I think we got our guest.
I'm already regretting this. No, that was a great performance by the Canadian women. Good performance by the Leafs last night, too, against my Bruins. But that's okay. I'm dreading it because the Bruins lost after being up 3-1 last year. However, Toronto's never actually beaten them in the playoffs. So
it's gonna go to Game 7 and Boston will win. Come on. We've seen this crap before.
My Caps got swept by the Rangers. So, yeah. Anyhow.
Oh, we lost longer than the Caps. Then.
All right, James. Fitzy, let's get into it. We don't have a lot of time to talk to James, so let's talk about this. James, jumping in, individual players. Talk about players who have stood out for you so far in the first half of this season.
Well, I think it's good starting point this week to start with Frank Lacour for the Utah Warriors. He was named as the player of the week for this week, for round 9, and earned his fourth first 15 selection, which leads the league. Now, he's the only player with four. Wow. There's a few with three, but he has four. He is he's basically on a try every two games pace. He has 115 tackles, so he's in the top, I think, based on, what is it, my post today, actually, so I should probably get that up. He is third in the league on that, and he has gained over 400 meters with ball in hand, and that's meters gained, not meters ran. So that's going forwards, not just running.
Left and right.
Yeah, he is really, really effective for Utah Warriors, probably one of their best pickups of the off season. Another one for the Utah Warriors who's absolute standout, who I love watching, is Michael Manson, who is tearing it up. He's only played 6 games. He has scored 6 tries, and he has 785 meters gained.
Wow.
That he has 23 tackles, but that's because he's a back three. He doesn't get that many tackles, but he is an absolute machine. He is tearing it up.
James, he's one of the fastest players in the league, right? Wasn't he sprinter in New Zealand or something?
Yeah, he was. I think it was Hooley on one of the broadcasts said he could do like a 10.7, 100 meters or something. That's absolutely insane for a rugby player.
Yeah.
Considering this guy is in 200 pounds as well. Yeah. I'd struggle to do that in my car, that's for sure. But this guy is absolutely tearing it up. And I really think he is one of the reasons, probably coupled with Frank Lacour and maybe Dylan Nell as well, just throw him in. Is part of the reason why Utah have sort of steadied their ship in the last few weeks.
And on Dylan Nell, real quick, he had 30-plus tackles in a game a couple weeks ago, is that right?
Yeah, he had 30 tackles. He's the second player in MLR history to hit 30 tackles in a game, behind Matt Heaton, who hit 32, I think, in 2022. So
wow.
That is an incredible... And funnily enough, Frank Lacour in that game had 28 tackles as well. So... That would have been I would have highlighted that performance anyway, but Dylan Nell outdid it. So, you know, for a team that's sort of all about the running rugby, they can tackle. They definitely can tackle this year. I'll move away from Utah, I suppose. I've given them enough praise. Just to your free ejects, Bill, maybe. I think Wayne Vanderbank is having an absolutely outstanding season for them. He is on...
Quite.
He's over 100 tackles as well. He's in the top 10 tacklers for MLR. He is also just under 600 meters gained. He's got 5 tries in 7 games. Like, he is really stepping up to the gap left by LaRue Milan, like when he was missing the first few weeks. He's sort of competing for one of those center slots with like Ben Lesage, who's kind of been alternating. I mean, it's a great problem to have for the Free Jacks to have at least 3 really effective centers in Lesage, Milan, and Wayne Vanderbank. And I just really think he's come on leaps and bounds in the last season. Just highlighting it here, he has in 2023, he had 640 meters gained and 113 tackles. This year already, he's pretty much at that same level with 3 more tries.
Ugh.
Like, he's having an absolute career year. And I think, you know, early candidate for one of the players of the year, in my opinion. Now, I want to go to a few more players on teams that might not get as much glory. So I wanted to highlight Tarangatira Waitokia for Anthem, who has been, he's started 6 games so far. He scored 3 tries. He's the joint leading Anthem try scorer. He also has 560 meters gained. He is the standout offensive weapon for Anthem, I think, at the minute. Standout offensive. Did I say defensive? it doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
He's the standout offensive weapon, and I just want to highlight him. It's a shame I can't see him in an Arrows jersey this year, but, you know, he's a team on the pitch anyway. And who else do I have? I just wanted to highlight as well for the Sabercats, who are having a phenomenal season so far, Ronan Murphy.
Yeah.
Who I think has really stepped into the absence of Gideon Van Wyk. I'm not quite sure what's going on with him, but he hasn't played much this season. Murphy has. He's an effective tackler. He's a can fight a try line seemingly at will. He scored 2 tries this weekend in that shutout of the Legion. I think it's worth highlighting him as possibly a USA Eagle in the future.
Hmm. For sure. Oh, yeah.
Have you been keeping an eye on, you know, speaking of, you know, Nate Oxberger's up next after later in the show, his teammate, what's his name?
Noah Brown? Younger.
Yes. He's come on pretty strong.
He has. I think he's Yeah, I'd say he's probably in an early call for Rookie of the Year. I think he was on your list this morning, John.
Yeah, he was. I had him at the top with like Junior Gaffa and Ty Aljibori, Albert O'Shaughnessy. Like, so there's 3 Anthem players there. I think those are like the top 4 in my opinion of players that have had some type of impact, you know, whether it's tries, media, tackles, or something like that.
O'Shaughnessy is a monster tackler as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he's played the last few weeks. I know they had a bye, but he's still a monster tackler. He's been in the top 10 for most of the season.
And how about Seth Smith, youngest scorer, right? Try scorer in MLR history?
Your youngest player becomes the youngest try scorer, and now the youngest player selected in the first 15. Like, he's having a great year. I'm not sure, was he drafted?
No, he's been academy. He came up through the academy system.
Does that count then? Or is the Rookie of the Year only open to draftees?
Oh, that's a good point. He was not drafted. He was an academy player right out of high school. So
yeah, because I knew it was in the academy system. It should.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
You got to penalize him for actually doing what we really want the players to do, is come through the assist.
Yeah, I know, right? Seems a bit harsh, but there you go.
Yeah. A couple more things for you before we let you go in a couple minutes here. You know, let's talk about scoring overall, James, in the league. Is scoring up or down this year, you know, and is that based on offense or defense? I guess, you know, is defense better if scoring's down, that kind of deal?
Well, I don't know. It sort of felt like a lot of, at least in the first few weeks, a lot of teams were struggling to score tries. You know, Seattle was struggling to get a try bonus point, even though they were winning. The Free Jacks missed a couple of try bonus points that I think last year they probably would have got pretty easily. But it seems to kind of be correcting itself now. It feels like it anyway. You know, there was a 33-0 shutout. I mean, that's not going to help San Diego Legion scoring, but it's going to help the Sabercats. They scored 5 tries. It seems like most of the time there's a try bonus point in a game now. There was something Brian Ray tweeted about, actually, that there's a lot. Is it like the 2024 season is on for the most sanctions ever, especially compared to last season?
Oh yeah,
and that means that that teams are down or teams have players suspended or something, which increases the likelihood that you're going to be scored against because you have less players.
Mm-hmm.
So that could factor into it, but I don't think it's particularly, you know, I don't think it's like, oh, it's up by 50% or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although saying that. Do you guys know which team has scored the most points so far this season?
I thought I did. I missed that one. It could have been Chicago after scoring 50-plus points 2 straight weeks.
I'm going to go with... Is it New England?
The Dallas Jackals.
Ah, the Dallas Jackals.
Oh, wow.
They're so fun to watch because they score a lot, but they also give up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it does help. They scored nearly 70 points against Anthem, but I will tell you, Chicago's on 254, New England's on 256, and Dallas is on 264. So it's all pretty close. But
yeah.
It's just like, before this year, definitely, I wouldn't have thought that Dallas were a high-scoring team.
Would you consider Dallas the most improved so far from last season?
Easily, yeah. I saw that on your thing this morning as well, John. I agree. I agreed with that. That was easy decision. They are the most improved team by a country mile, and probably the most fun team to watch because of what you said, John. They score a lot, but they give up a lot.
John, you want to finish it off? One last question.
I guess, James, and looking over kind of a, you know, whether individual or team data, is there maybe a team that maybe is underperforming expectations from the first half and maybe you can anticipate them kind of getting back on track in the second half? Or maybe the other way, is there a team that's overperforming that maybe is going to have a correction here in the second half?
Well, I would have said, Houston's leading the league. They have been pretty strong the last few years. I don't think they're underperforming or overperforming. I think this is just kind of them perfecting their kind of configuration.
Yeah.
But the obvious answer is the San Diego Legion. Hmm. They were 15-1 last year. They got to the final. They didn't win the final, obviously, but they lost one game in the entire regular season. It's the best season in MLR history. And this year, well, they just got shut out for their first time ever in, hold on, I've got it here, in 91 games, the first time they got shut out.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had a few kind of really close victories. They've had a few, they struggled to score, like I mentioned earlier, one of the teams that did have struggled to score at times. They scraped past, I think it was Miami, they scraped past Dallas, like... Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's anything really to do with the caliber of talent. It's just about the turnover, I think, from last year. I think they lost 5 or 6 players to Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Which tells you about the caliber of players they had last season. Like, I just think it's that they've taken the biggest step back from last season.
Is now, that so the answer?
Well, I guess we'll find out. It sure sounds like he's going to play this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs or anything because of this 14 thing we've got. But, well, I mean, they might if Utah keep going. Because a couple of weeks ago, I would have said Utah were the biggest sort of underperformers. But now they've really kind of turned that around.
Yeah.
Well, James, thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming on today. Great insight in these players and these teams. Again, how can people follow you?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at MLRStats. And I'm on Twitter. It's just my personal Twitter, which is at Jamdelay, Jamdelay.
All right, check them out. Great stuff, and I know we keep an eye on your stuff as well, so you're actually half of our research every time we do a show. We'll start cutting you in some of the cash we're bringing in. All right, James, have a great night. Have a great night. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. Cheers, Bill. Cheers, John.
Cheers. All right, here we go. Good suggestions to players to keep an eye on if you're not familiar with some of these players. Check them out. Rewind this pod. Write it down. Check them out. Who are the players that you've been keeping an eye on there, Fitzy? I know we see players through fantasy, rugby, whatever else, but are there others maybe that he didn't mention?
Yeah, I mean, like, there were so many to choose from, and I think the top of my list for, like, midseason MVP, I've got a couple of free jacks at the top of the list, Reese McDonald and Jason Patros. McDonald, you know, the Red Rocket, I believe is what you guys call him up there. I'm sorry, that try that he scored last week.
Phenomenal.
He kicked it down the field. First he caught it, then kicked it down the field. It was like, okay, yeah, the fullback for LA is just waiting for it to kind of go out. It doesn't look like it was going to go out, but okay, he should be keeping track. He's just going to tap it down, right? No. You know, like,
yeah.
Boom.
Everyone gave up on it.
Did, never gave up on it. Was committed the entire time. Looks like he may have hurt himself. He had to come off. It sounds like it's not that serious. Maybe he'll miss a week or so. But he, in my opinion, has just played out early this year. Jason Patros just steady. There's a couple of games where he had some long scoring tries where
yeah.
It was funny to see him like get down the field. Those are two guys. And that's hard for me to say, right? I'm an Old Glory DC fan. But, you know, yeah. Props where I can. Mac Mason for Seattle in his return, right?
Phenomenal.
He left MLR, now he's back. He's so steady off the tee, just a great operator out there leading Seattle to 7 wins. I got 2 more players. Cap Deagle, of course, Dylan Fawcett for Chicago. When he is on and playing well, that team goes. And it's good to see. He had a hat trick, right, a couple weeks ago.
He did.
Yeah. So him and another hooker, high scoring, Deovald Kotze for Dallas, right? He set the MLR try-scoring record. What did he have, 5 or 6? Like, that's incredible. So those are a couple of players. And then there's a bunch more, but those are the top, say, like 5 or 6, I think, are in the running for midseason MVP.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. Reese, top of the list for me. You know, I haven't had a chance to see him play in person a number of times. Unassuming player. He's not a big dude. He's not, but he's fast. He's doing, like... Pete Rose type stuff, you know, like that play in LA is P. Rose stuff right there. Yeah. It's lay the body on the line and do what needs to be done. And you're right, that whole play was him. Caught the ball, kicked the ball, chased the ball. Everyone else gave up on it except for him. And his speed is underrated, I think. He's so quick. Another great play of Reese's was a couple weeks ago. I don't think it was Seattle. I think it was the match before that. It was Nola. And he kept up with that ball. I don't believe he kicked it, but he kept up with the ball, and it took a bad bounce over Dougie Fife's head. And he just, Reese was in the right place, caught it, all in one motion, dove in for a try. He's creating spectacular tries for New England.
People could say, that was lucky it bounced to him. But I think you make your luck out on the field if you're hustling and you're running and you're committing to things. Ball's going to have some favorable bounces to you if you put yourself in position to score. And that's what's been happening for Reeks. Certainly knew the benefit of that.
Yeah, like baseball terms, you can't hit it out unless you swing the bat. And that's him, that he's getting in that position for that stuff to happen. He's in the right places. I do feel, let's talk about DC and Free Jacks just for a second here, our teams. I'm worried about the Free Jacks just because if Reese is out longer, it's going to be bad because they've already lost Conradi and Poland, the two big players from last year. So I hope they can pick it up. I don't see them as dominant as they were last year, but again, it's halfway through the season. Their coaching staff is phenomenal with their play calls. They're coaching the team. I don't see any other team really, other than Seattle in that game last week against New England or the week prior, that couldn't have took them out of the game. They also had really nice set plays off of scrum downs, lineups, whatever else. Not a lot of teams can pull that stuff off. What's the deal with DC right now?
Yeah, DC, well, one, week 10 now, they're going to welcome back from suspension their captain, Jameson Fowler-Schultz,
who
suspended for 5 weeks because of the play that happened with Billy Meeks, the home game for DC. DC has had a very up and down season, 2 wins, 4 losses, 2 draws, both draws at home. They haven't won a home game yet game yet in their new venue. So some challenges there. They've got a very big match against the Miami Sharks at home on Saturday night. I talked with Alistair Kirschpool about it on Glorious Rugby Podcast. I think we both called it a must-win game because they need to start stacking up Ws. They need to start getting table points. Old Glory DC was fortunate to get 2 table points in that Utah match last Friday. I mean, they were down big early. Utah was crazy at the end of that game there. I think it was Joe Mano who kicked the ball to touch thinking the game was over. It wasn't over yet. Old Glory DC was able to get the line out they wanted. And so in Maul, Martin Vaca replacement dots down. That's the 4th try. That's the bonus point. And then it got him within 7. So, and then the game ended. So Old Glory was very fortunate to get 2 table points. But this is a conference game for Old Glory, and they've got to win. They've got to get a win at home. They've got to beat the Sharks. Sharks are expansion team. They've been playing okay, but it's a team that Old Glory should beat if they've got aspirations to get back to the Eastern Conference final like they did last year.
You're right, and I don't think Miami is going to be as much of a pushover as I think they'd like them to be. Like you said, they got some good talent on that team.
Romel Ardell, Felipe Echeverry, Ben DeMasco, Marcos Young. Like, they've got some players there. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Now back to the show.
And there's some other big matches this weekend too, not just DC, Miami, but like I said, New England, Chicago. I think, the top 2 teams in the East right now. This is a big match. I think Chicago's going to be tough for New England. New England won by, 5 in the first matchup, 4 or 5. We'll see what this is like. It's in New England. It is a tough crowd to play in front of. We'll see how they do. Another big match is San Diego and Dallas. We just talked about how many points Dallas is scoring. And San Diego, I think, is, I don't know, I wouldn't say fluttering, maybe underperforming.
Yeah.
So those are 2 big matches.
Chicago, the last time they played New England, they were still doing the – they hadn't made the fly half switch. Billy Meeks was still playing fly half. They moved him back to center. Since Chicago's done that, right, where our Khaleesi's back at fly half, Billy Meeks back at center, they've scored 50 points in 2 straight games. You can say, oh, wow, the offense is clicking. You got to look at who the opponents were. So it was RFC LA and then Anthem. And not to dog both those squads, but, those are both bottom dwellers right now and in their respective conferences. So this will be a true test for whether Chicago's offense really is humming now. If they can go into New England and beat them there at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And New England has lost twice there this year, once to Old Glory. So, we'll see.
Yeah, and some players have been standing out for me. Look at teams like Seattle. Connor Mooneyhan's back. Yes. And he played well against New England in that his first minutes. You know, I had a great opportunity to talk to him after the match, and he's so excited to be back. Yeah. You know, maybe he's getting his hat in for a potential spot for USA side. I know he hasn't played in a while, so it's not like he's going to be chosen right away. But he looks fit. He's eager, ready to go. Like I said, Mac Mason playing phenomenal for him. Charles Elton is a tackling machine for Seattle. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about Seattle. I think they're to me the top team out of the West. Nothing against Houston. Just the way they played in that match was. It was just such a different team than I'm seeing out of, say, D.C. or, you know, NOLA coming through New England, that kind of stuff. You know, they're very and Reichert is playing the way he should be playing, you know, dominating. I'd love to see him in a USA uniform again. Who knows?
Yeah, I think Seattle's just steady, like a professional, methodical approach. They don't get down. They don't, even if they're trailing. You know, like that Chicago match where I think they were down by a big number and came back. And one, right? Seattle just doesn't panic. You know, they've got Devon Rousseau, their center fullback from Russia. He's been fun to watch. JP Smith, you know, great scrum half. A lot of interesting pieces there. I mean, of course, you know, it's funny because like they doing all this with kind of new wings, right? Last year, Futi was phenomenal. And, you know, he's fighting for minutes with out of nowhere, it seems like, Jade Stealing, right? I think I pronounced his name correctly. He's been playing really well. So they've got so many, like, pieces down there. They don't almost have too much. It's like, it's got to be hard to get on that match day 23 each week.
Oh, of course. And let's talk about Anthem real quick, one of the expansion teams, an extreme expansion team at the last second. Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier, Davis still out for 5 matches.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm a little worried about this team, not necessarily for the MLR side, but say USA, because it seems like they're panicking a little bit. You know, they brought in New Zealand fly half. They're bringing in more non-USA qualified players. Mm-hmm. I'm curious why that is. Is that because they don't have the depth right now, or is it, let's help out these USA players get better by bringing in these other more experienced players? I'm hoping it's that and not rat players.
Maybe a little bit of both. Maybe a little bit of both, but... you know, the mission is true, right? Like Scott Lawrence and the crew down there, we know they've got the North Star about developing young players, bringing them up, and this is a great opportunity for them to do that in MLR. I don't think they'll skew too far from that path, but at the same time, injury's going to happen, right, as you mentioned, and maybe you do bring a couple of international players in just to kind of raise maybe the level of intensity and skill and stuff or whatever in practices and games just to, you know, I don't know. And shoot, maybe they're, you know, they have pride. They want to win a game. So, you know, they don't want to go 0-16 in MLR. So,
wonder if they can. I haven't seen that. I forget if they played, like, say, Atlanta yet or not. But they're scoring points. I mean, they're not getting shut out too much. I mean, the Hounds put on 59 points on them, but they scored 26 against Chicago. So they can score points. It just, I guess, it just matters. I don't know.
They got, I mean, as the commenters or chatters here, you know, they got a tough one against Seattle. It'll be interesting to see if Seattle coming off a bye, if they do try out all of their starters or if they kind of mix in some players, right? Maybe additional rest for some players. It'll be interesting to see, but should be a bonus point win for Seattle. You know, but hey, if Anthem were to surprise everyone and knock them down, wouldn't that be wild? But
oh, geez. Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen odder things happen. You know, Seattle doesn't take them serious, let's say. And you know, they come out firing and they score some points. I mean, they got a really good coach. Ariam, I can't say his name. Alama. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm so good at names, usually.
Well, one player that I wanted to bring up who we joked around about making sure his pronunciation of his name was right when he came on a couple of weeks ago, I think is on the, I think you know where I'm going with this, is on the Eagles' radar. Houston Sabercats, fly half fullback, David Kutzer, right? Like, He's one of my favorite players in MLR, just watching him play. Not a big guy, but just skills, can make people miss, can play all over the back line, you know, fullback and fly half. So that versatility is awesome. He's had a good year. He was someone who I almost put in that midseason MVP list because I just think he's been fun to watch.
Yeah, I think he's great at fullback. You know, is he qualified for USA yet? Or is that... now or soon.
Close.
And where does he fit in? I mean, he's not playing a lot of fly half. You know, AJ Alatuma is playing there quite often, but they do switch minutes together. when he's not playing fly half, he's playing fullback, and he's playing phenomenal fullback. And I look at the USA depth, you know, we got like Mitch Wilson's played fullback. You know, who else is playing fullback? So I think if he's qualified, the way he's playing, I can imagine he's got a really great chance of getting some minutes this year with all these international matches coming up.
Yeah, I'd pencil him in the 10 jersey.
Yeah. Well, no depth there either. You know, AJ McGinty, he's playing phenomenal. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. And obviously, if he's on the team, he's playing.
Yep.
But then after that, you know, we saw a couple others that kind of faded away. You know, maybe a player in Chicago and wherever else. So we'll see. You know, another player I want to bring up is Mikey Tao. 30 tries. Only two other players have scored 30 tries in MLR, and he just got that. So it's good to see him. I'm not sure. I haven't watched him enough this year, so I'm not certain if he's really getting back to form. I feel like he kind of fell out of form for a couple of years, maybe with Utah, whatever. But maybe San Diego's helping his game, you know?
Yeah, Utah, I think maybe wobbly. They're definitely underperforming. You used that word earlier. So, and I don't think Tao's probably playing the way he would like, and he's probably fighting for minutes a little bit, but he has been coming on a little bit in the last couple of weeks. You know, to your point, he scored his 30th try, so you know, maybe he's coming on at the right time.
And overall, you know, let's just talk about top teams. I mean, we look at who's in the standings, and you know, we see – you know, New England and Chicago, the top two in the East. We see in the West is what, Houston and Seattle. You know, are those the clear four top teams?
Yeah. Yes. You know, like definitely Seattle and Houston. I think they've separated themselves from the pack in the West. Certainly Dallas and Utah are going to fight, right? In San Diego, you know, maybe they turn it on. In the Eastern Conference, I think it's a little more clear right now based on how teams are playing. New England's outperforming everyone, you know, injury concerns. Chicago's getting on track. And then it's that middle pack of, okay, is it going to be NOLA? Is it going to be DC? Is it going to be Miami? You know, so we'll see. And, you know, yeah, four teams from each conference make it. And I know some people don't like that, but I don't think it's over yet in the Eastern Conference. I'll just put it that way.
Well, that's good to know. You know what I was thinking with James on earlier? I wonder if, like, he's working with a lot of really good stats. All right. Like, he's finding these stats himself. Obviously, he's working hard for these stats, data he's working with. I wonder if, you know, if we had those kinds of stats available when we played. I mean, heck, you just played a few weeks ago. Or a couple weeks ago. Was it like a touch match or something? Did you?
No, man. I played a full tackle 15s. It was an alumni game from my college. That's
right. Okay. Well, what if you had, you know, data to work with?
Yeah.
Okay. Footage of these young. Were you playing against the young guys?
Yeah. We were playing the current college game. Yeah.
So I'm sure there's video of these guys. So, I mean, you probably would have killed them or at least not hurt yourself jumping over a ruck if you watched footage. I mean, you would have scored. You would have found out if they scored more off of lineouts.
Yeah.
You know, do they do any set plays off of scrum downs? Mm-hmm. I feel like you could have been MVP if you had the right data.
Well, the data in the video would have showed that I should have made one more pass to my teammate out on the wing. He was wide open, but I wanted to run with it. If I would have just made one more pass, I would have, you know, I would have gotten a try assist, but that did not happen.
Well, I got something for you that can help you out. We have it. We have an in. It's called Quick Tap.
Mm.
All right. I'm not saying, again, you would have scored four tries, but at least you would have had a better idea of what your opponents are up to and running certain plays. So, Quick Tap. All right. This is what you need. This is what you all need, everyone out there listening. It is the only sports video and analytics platform designed specifically for rugby, for us, coaches, players, staff, all levels. All right. B-sides, college sides, pro sides, whatever. Quick Tap makes it easy to categorize video and collect stats as you watch film. With those stats and, you know, clips, QuickTap's video review and analytics capabilities help cut the wasted time from your off-field reviews so you can get straight to the insight you need to play better rugby and get a leg up on your opponent. So again, please visit getquicktap.com and use the offer code HAPPYHOUR, that's one word, HAPPYHOUR, and when signing up for a free trial, which you'll get 10% off your annual subscription by using Happy Hour. And QuickTap will sweeten the deal by tracking your first match for you. QuickTap, the most powerful way to beat your opponents before ever setting foot on the pitch. Hey, listener, we really appreciate you tuning in to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. That was just the first half of the show. Be sure to check out the second half and previous shows here on your favorite podcast player. Also, please like, subscribe, or follow and leave us a 5-star review. That helps get these shows in front of more and more listeners. Now, what are you waiting for? Go check out the other shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.